Biodiversity with Kelby Uchley.
My boyhood in Louisiana was immersed in a culture where a conservation ethic did not exist in the general populace. The notion was that wildlife was there for the taking, not unlike blackberries or mayhaws in the swamp. As a carryover of attitude about natural resources since European arrives in North America, it was a lingering remnant of 19th century arrogance defined as manifest destiny. The state of affairs was exacerbated by a legal system hobbled with weak statutes and one that did not take violations of natural resource laws, including fish and wildlife regulations, seriously anyway. Even on the national scene, there were few champions. Disciples of the great conservationist Aldo Leopold and a handful of like-minded associates were the only people touting this necessity of a conservation ethic. Most of us just did not think. Fresh from college, I fell into the trenches of conservation ethics via law enforcement work at my first job with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service at Felsenthal National Wildlife Refuge in South Arkansas. The old school refuge manager who had just transferred in from the wilds of Alaska to start up this new federal refuge gave me and another rookie a tarnished badge and an old military surplus 38 special revolver stamped with U.S. Navy. The worn leather holsters were right-handed, and I am not. With no formal law enforcement training, we were encouraged to promote conservation ethics by enforcing all applicable federal fish and wildlife regulations. Since we loved our new charge, it did not take much encouragement. On the opening day of waterfowl season, we confiscated so many guns and illegally killed ducks on Mossy Lake that we nearly sank our overloaded boat. This was the beginning of my career as a National Wildlife Refuge officer and my involvement in one aspect of conservation ethics that lasted until I retired more than 30 years later. In the four decades since my work in the Washita River bottoms, illegal fish and wildlife exploitation has decreased, though it is still common enough and likely always will be. In Louisiana, the more egregious violations, such as gross overlimits of waterfowl, shooting wood duck roost, killing non-game species like night herons and robins, and market hunting have declined significantly. The change is a result of a number of factors, including environmental education efforts in schools and by various conservation organizations. Game wardens are better trained and held to high professional standards. A maturing media has helped. The evolution of public opinion regarding poaching from tacit approval to scandalous behavior has carried over into the courts. There, the status of wildlife crimes has been elevated, and penalties for violations are now severe enough to serve as effective deterrents in most cases. Changing the behavior of individuals, regardless of the technique employed, that is, proactive education or punitive mandate, has been the key to reducing violations and in turn promoting conservation ethics. Unfortunately, natural resources are besieged by commercial interest only slightly less than 40 years ago. The challenge now is to get these same ethics in the doors of corporate boardrooms.
Biodiversity is written and narrated by Kelby Uchley and produced in the studios of KEDM Public Radio.